It's December 29th, and Christmas is still true. We read these words every year around Christmas time, and I'm struck this time around that while the story, the events that we portray in adorable Christmas pageants really wraps up with verse 18, the story keeps being real and true for Mary and the shepherds. The shepherds depart, but Mary continues to ponder what is going on. The shepherds depart glorifying and praising God for what they have seen and heard. Christmas is still real. Christmas is still true. So it is still true that God is near, that God is good, that God is not in a hurry, and that God looks like Jesus. That's become something of a litany for me in recent weeks, a kind of breath prayer that fills up empty spaces. God is near. God is good. God is not in a hurry. God looks like Jesus. God is near. Leading up to the story that Luke tells of Christmas, of God coming to earth in Jesus, God has appeared far away from his people. He has seemed hidden to them. And so their experience of God has been largely theoretical. They have the scriptures, the words of the Old Testament. They know about who God is. But they don't experience him as near. Perhaps you can relate. Perhaps now or at some time in the past. Your faith in God, however sincere, has been largely theoretical. Christmas changes that. From this moment, when God arrives on earth in the form of this baby boy, and forevermore, God is near. Wherever we go, however much attention we are or aren't paying attention. That was redundant, sorry. Regardless, God is near. It doesn't end when Jesus' life on earth ends. The last thing he says to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew is, I am with you always. My nearness will not change, will not waver. Regardless of what else is going on in your life, God is near. There's an old spiritual practice called the examine. It's usually something one does at the end of the day as a sort of closing reflection on the day. And the practice of examine is to come to a place of rest and then replay the day almost as a movie in your head while asking the question of God, where were you? What were you up to? I probably wasn't paying attention, but I trust that you were near. So I'm going to have us practice a version of the examine right now. We're going to be a little experimental here and stretch it out. It's been the Christmas week with all that portends for us. And so you're not going to do scene by scene over the course of a whole week. But I'm going to give us a couple of minutes to close your eyes and reflect on the last week, and ask God, where were you? I trust that you were near. Show me what you were up to. So whatever helps you to pause and reflect, get comfortable, close your eyes, open your hands in a gesture of receptivity, and look back, examine the last week. Where was the God who is always near? I wonder if there are one or two of you willing to share something that it seems God is showing you. Keeping in mind that when we do this in whatever setting, say, I think I'm hearing this from God, we all always do it humbly. Nobody in here is Moses or Isaiah or Paul declaring, thus saith the Lord. You're just offering, this is what came to mind, and it sounded like the voice of the Spirit to me. Yeah, go ahead, Ruth.
God gave me work to do, I think, so that the big stuff could happen with others, and I didn't do the caregiving I didn't want to do.
Ruth said God gave her work to do that freed her from the caregiving that really shouldn't have been your burden. Is that a fair way to rephrase? Yeah. I thought I knew what I was going to fix on, but what actually came to mind was Christmas morning, we opened all the presents, and as never fails, one child was profoundly upset. Claire lost it and goes storming off to her bedroom. And Vanessa, who does all of the Christmas shopping and preparing, I am a zero when it comes to that part of Christmas, goes in and listens to Claire accuse her of not knowing her, not caring about her, receives it all, doesn't fight back, and just holds Claire. And I thought I heard God saying, that was me working with Vanessa, like helping Vanessa love Claire the way I love all of you. God is near, even when our children are screaming unfounded accusations at us. God is near. God is near, and God is good. To have someone come near may or may not be a good thing. You may be familiar with Christopher Hitchens, the deceased atheist public intellectual. He would talk frequently about how he shuddered at the idea of God being present. To him, it felt like Big Brother, you know, from the Orwell novel 1984, this sort of cosmic hall monitor keeping track of all his misdeeds. But we see in the Christmas story that God doesn't draw near so that he can write us tickets for all of our transgressions, but rather God draws near as a savior, a helper, a rescuer. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior. God's nearness is good news because God is good. He comes not to accuse, but to rescue, to save, to help us. And he is being the same yesterday, today, and forever, just as he came to those in the hills of Bethlehem as a savior, as a rescuer, as a helper. He comes to you and me. So again, let's take a moment and pause and reflect on our lives. Where has God helped you? Where has God shown his goodness to you? What has God rescued you from? Or possibly, it's in process. What is God rescuing you from? Again, would one or two be willing to share where you have seen God's goodness or where you have experienced his help? I think actually it was with Garrett and Sarah a few weeks ago that I first phrased it this way, but it's so accurate and vivid that I keep reusing it. When it comes to Christmas time, our marriage is as if Mrs. Claus married the Grinch. I primarily bring grumbling about busyness and consumerism to the Christmas season, and I've been trying to repent of that this year. And I believe that I have seen God help in that. Not all done. I was laughing with Vanessa yesterday that I think this year my heart grew one size. You know? So maybe a couple more years and I might be able to fully join in her Christmas spirit. But it's been sweet to see, because I have lots of years of knowing I can't do that in my own strength. I can't just decide not to be grouchy. But I do believe God's given me that gift out of his goodness this year. So in this and many, many, many other ways, God is good. God is near, God is good, and God is not in a hurry. In this story, God comes to earth as a baby. God waited 9 months in the womb. And now, apart from a couple of vignettes that fill out chapter 2, we're going to fast forward, give or take 35 years, where God waited on earth as a baby, as a toddler, as a little boy with a runny nose, as a gangly teenager with growing pains. God is not in a hurry to get things done. He's not in a rush to accomplish or experience as much as possible. God is never in a hurry. He wasn't in a hurry when he was on earth as Jesus. He's not in a hurry with you now. He has drawn near to give you more good than you could possibly imagine. But he's not in a hurry to finish the project. So if you look back on your life, in frustration, after all these years, I'm still stuck here. Remember, God is not in a hurry. He's not tapping his foot in impatience with you. And if you look forward into the future and think, oh, there's still so much to do, so much to achieve, so much growing and changing that needs to happen, God is not in a hurry. He's not checking his schedule and trying to figure out where he can make up lost time. God doesn't get in a hurry. Let's take a moment. I'm not going to ask anyone to share this time. What good things are you impatient about or for? Maybe there's some pattern of sin in your life that you are sick to death of and want to be rid of, and why couldn't it just be now? Maybe there's some repair of relationship that you long to see in your family or among your friends. Maybe it's justice in the world. Let something come to your mind, and then I'd encourage you to do this out loud, but very quietly, kind of under your breath. Offer it to God and tell him that you trust him to do good in his unhurried time. God is near, God is good, God is not in a hurry, and God looks like Jesus. Lots of people in Luke 1 and 2 and on into the gospel, they will get a big and glorious idea of who Jesus is, and every single one of them will still have it too small and not glorious enough. Jesus is God made visible. In him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He is the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. He shows us not just that God is, but who God is. God looks like Jesus. So for those who are familiar with the stories of Jesus in the Bible, with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pause for a moment. Think of a saying, an action, a conversation that Jesus has, some visible part of Jesus' life that lets us know what God looks like. Now we're going to close this time of reflection by thanking God together for who he has shown himself to be in Jesus. So I'll go first, and then I'd encourage you to follow however loosely the pattern of praise and thanksgiving. God, thank you for being the one who doesn't run away from the leper, but runs towards him and embraces him and makes him whole. Y'all's turn now.
Thank you for your incarnation.
God, thank you for delighting in little children.
Lord, thank you that you created beautiful music.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, your everlasting love.
Father, thank you that you are near. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are not in a hurry. Thank you that you look like Jesus. Amen.